Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Already Friends. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
We are back better than ever together, not in person, but we're so excited. We're going to catch up today and then we're going to do another segment of our Opinionated AF series where we take some internet hot takes, some internet opinions, things that are trending and give our opinions on it.
Yes, we did the first Opinionated AF last month. So this is take number two and we have some great videos today. We were like discussing them before and we were like, we need to start recording because we have some opinions on these opinions.
We have some thoughts. This is a really fun series. I'm so happy that we found this and added it into our mix and our routine because I love seeing a video on my For You page and now saving it and being like, yes, saving this for Opinionated AF.
And not even found it. You just came up with it.
Oh, wait, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm like, you and me do this in our own time. And I'm like, this is definitely an Already Friends branded. Like, I feel like this is part of our mantras that we're talking to you guys. Like, we're already friends. So friends banter. Friends give their hot takes.
Friends send each other a ton of videos in the DMs.
So this is the audio version of that. Yeah. It's just like if we were sending each other voice notes with our opinions.
Exactly. And you are married now.
Oh, congratulations. My gosh. Thank you. And I told Allison, like, thanks for the kind words on last week's episode. That was very sweet because that was really, very fresh from the wedding, but I was still in Charleston, so I didn't jump on, but you were very nice and you told me congrats and that you had fun. And here we are 2 weeks out and I'm married.
How does it feel?
Oh my gosh, it feels so good. Honestly, people at the wedding were like, do you feel different? Because I think they were expecting me to say no. I'm like, no, actually I do feel different. Like, I feel comfort. And it feels nice to like have locked in your person and have that, I don't know, that stability,
security.
I guess.
Security.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It feels really good. And yeah, I definitely feel like very in love and like in the lovey-dovey phase. So
not that it like really matters, but on paper, how long is newlywed stage?
I don't know. Like, you know, like the honeymoon phase.
Like, because you can have the honeymoon phase of dating and probably the honeymoon phase of being married.
That's such a good question. I would imagine like 6 months to a year, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know what? Honestly, it's a mindset.
It is a mindset. I agree. And I feel like in the books that I was reading, like leading up to marriage, because I want to have a successful marriage. And like, I feel like you can't just have a successful marriage. Like, you have to actually try. Even if you love the person that you're marrying, it's work. That's why half people get divorced, because like it's a lot of work. And I don't think people realize that. And I think I've taken in a lot of information, like accepted that it's going to be work. And so in my head, I wanted to prepare. So I was reading a lot of books and stuff. And I think a lot of them were saying like your mindset about the relationship can dictate how it goes. And like, you can choose to be in the honeymoon phase and you can choose, I don't know, to be happy and like look at the positive things and work through the challenges and stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to choose to be in the honeymoon phase as long as possible because it's like very, it feels good. Like, who doesn't want to be this happy and like feel this in love?
Absolutely. Aw, yeah. I love that for you guys.
Ah, yeah. Well, going back to Charleston, should I give like a little recap?
Please. We've all been waiting.
Yeah. Well, I did give like a full hour long deep dive over on the Patreon page. So if you want that super long and in-depth, even like more like logistics kind of. So like even if you're maybe thinking about doing a destination wedding or like a wedding in Charleston, go to the Patreon because I just rambled for an hour by myself and just like spilled everything. So go there. But okay, yeah, recap. So it was like a 4-day event, which still felt like too short. I feel like people that are married will understand this, but the wedding flew by. I feel like I blinked and it was over. And everyone's telling me it's going to go by so fast. It's going to go by so quickly, like be present, stay present. And so I was staying present the whole day, but it still just like flew by. It's so, so crazy. And on the Patreon, I was like, business idea, can someone have a wedding venue that stays open till like 2-4 a.m? Because that's the only thing I wish like we had in the US. I wish I like lasted longer. Like I wish it went until like 4 in the morning.
No, you're right. Definitely. I felt like I just started dancing and then it was like, ah, we have to stop.
And then it was over. And that was even us staying open till 11. Like, I think they usually end, a lot of weddings end at 10. And I think we paid for an extra hour. And that even felt so short. And my friend Hania went to a wedding last year in Spain. And they had the wedding go to like 6, 8 a.m. And I'm like, I'm jealous. I'm such a night owl. That sounds like my dream.
Imagine the behavior that would happen, though.
I know. Like, it's definitely a liability. Yeah. I know, like I would be behaved, but I know that you're so 1,000,000% right that that is why they don't do that.
Yeah, like Americans just can't handle their alcohol, to be honest.
So I guess the layout of the weekend, a lot of people traveled in Thursday or Friday. Friday night was a welcome party because I feel like it is good to see everyone, welcome them to Charleston, especially since our wedding was on Sunday and a lot of people were coming Thursday or Friday. It was good to get everyone together. So we had it at the Hotel Indigo in Mount Pleasant. It's like right across the bridge from downtown Charleston. And it was outside by the pool, which was so pretty. They built like the palm trees, this really nice pool. And we just had like light apps and music, drinks. And that was really fun. And I'm so glad we did that because then we got to see over half of our guests. So then on Sunday, it wasn't like having to say hi to everyone and have fun. It was just like, okay, I already said hi to like 60% of these people. And now it's just have fun with them. And then I get to say hi to everybody else. But that was such a nice night. Like, so it's funny. We got there. It was from 6 to 9:30. And at like 6:20, it just starts downpouring. So this whole outside event, right by the pool, literal thunderstorm, just downpour, torrential rain. We all move inside. And it was nice because the pool area had like a covered area. So half of us stayed in the covered area, but the bar and the food moved to inside. So then people had like the nice AC if they wanted. And then the rest of us were outside and underneath the covering. But then it stopped raining at like 7:30. So it fully rained for like a whole hour. But then the pool was empty. So it's like we almost rented out the entire pool. And like we had the whole back part of the hotel to ourselves. Because at first it was just, we had this little area by the pool, but then like no one came back outside after it rained. So it was nice. It was like a private hotel, basically. So yeah, we stayed till like 9:30, had drinks, had like a little open bar.
Okay, wait, really quick interjection. That's so optimistic of you. A lot of people would be like, it was raining and it ruined the night. And you're like, oh my God, it's great. Everyone left and we got the place to ourselves. So just,
oh yeah,
props to you for being optimistic about that.
I would say like I'm a generally optimistic person, but like I was worried that like my inner brat was going to come out this weekend just because you're spending so much money. There is kind of a lot of pressure for things to go well. And I was worried. I'm like, am I going to be a brat at some points? Am I going to be annoying? But I was so chill, literally so unbothered. I don't know if it was just because I was having so much fun and everything was just like so pretty. And like, how could you be? I'm not even putting on a front. Like I was not upset
and
for once.
And if you would have started freaking out, that would have just ruined your entire night too. So like there's nothing to have been done about it.
And like 2 weeks ago on our episode, I'm like, my number one priority was for us to have fun. And like, you have to put out the vibe that you want to attract. I'm not going to put out negative, annoying energy. Like then everyone else is just gonna be a negative annoying. No, I genuinely did not care. I think the only reason I was like running to inside because I didn't want to get my spray tan messed up, but like that was really it. Like I just ran it and that was fine. But also even on the wedding day, I'm not trying to brag. I really don't want to be like a pick me right now, but my photographer was like, you're being so chill. She's like, a lot of brides are like not this chill. And I think it's because I worked like 30, 40 weddings and I was behind the scenes for so many weddings. I knew every single thing that was gonna happen. I feel like maybe brides get stressed when they don't know what's happening next, maybe?
It's an entirely new environment. And you're like, you're used to the rundown of like what order things go in and how there's always kind of going to be some hiccup, but it's like improvised and the show goes on and the guests don't even notice.
Yeah. And I feel like not that I was a bride like 30 times. I really did go through the day with them. When you're the photographer, the videographer, you're their little sidekick the whole day. So I've lived 30 weddings. So I feel like I knew exactly exactly what the rundown was. So like there was no need to be stressed. But also I feel like I was just having so much fun. And like everyone you love is there. All your best friends are there. Like there was literally nothing to be stressed about. I don't know. I was surprised too how chill I was. But I was hangry in the morning because we started getting ready at 8 a.m. and the food didn't come till 9:30. And like at 9:15, I dropped a bunch of champagne flutes and they shattered. And like, it was a breaking point.
Because you're like, your hands were shaking or what?
The food was coming. So they're like, we need to clear off this table. And I was like, I'll do it. And I like grabbed this like tray that they were all on and it was like stuck to the table. So I like tried to grab the tray, but it was like stuck. So then it like jolted forward and like these glasses went flying. And I'm like, if I don't get food in me in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to break. I'm going to be so angry. Like I was, because I'd been up since like 7. And then immediately when the food came, McKenna was like, get her a scone, get her some food. She's getting to that point. So that was like the only hiccup of the day. It was like, I got a little hangry in the morning, but like it was fine. I was just, once I got that food in me, then it was smooth sailing.
Oh my God. Speaking of McKenna, I feel like you got to give her a shout for her iconic styling. I already did it on TikTok, but
I feel like I need to give everybody a shout because for how amazing and iconic this wedding was, like in my eyes, I did not do any of it. It was everybody else's doing for like how iconic it was because my mom did everything. Shout out to Lolo. She was a 5-star friend because on our Patreon, we do a little 5-star friend moment. It was her. She has dedicated the whole last year of her life to like planning this amazing wedding for me. And she thought of every single detail. It's funny. We're so similar. And like the fact that I have to like think through all these things for producing and like being a video producer, I feel like she did that. She does that for events. Like she's done that for every single birthday party she's thrown us, or like she's always been that mom that's done really cool parties and like been very thoughtful like that. And she went so above and beyond and just like thought of every single detail. Like her and the wedding planner just had such a vision. This wedding and planning was getting frustrating for me because I'm like, I don't know how to do this. Like, and I think some people have that like that vision, or they can like see things through with events and stuff. And I was getting frustrated because I'm like they'd ask me like what I would want for like the plates, or I'm like, I don't know. Like that doesn't click for me. So Lola like really stepped it up and like had the vision and executed. And like I was able to see things once they gave me options. But like if they were like, what kind of couches do you want for under the tent? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what? Like, that's so foreign to me. My mom made everything so cool. So like for the wedding, we had this beautiful ceremony and she rented all these gorgeous wooden chairs, which like in my head, I'm like, why are we renting chairs? Like, that's silly. But then you look at it and it's like, wait, no, that looks so good. Like, that is so worth the money. Lolo, vision executed. I would have just thought, let's just use the white plastic chairs. Why does it matter? But then it's like, no, you actually see it and you're like, oh, wait, no, that looks so pretty. And then we had this big white tent. We were going to do a clear top tent. That was actually originally the plan because those are like really stunning and pretty. But it was very hot that day. I think the high was like 87. And the tent place called us like the day before. And they're like, hey, it's going to be really hot tomorrow. Do you guys still want to do the clear top? We'd recommend a white tent because, you know, even though it's like less aesthetic, it's going to be way more comfortable for your guests. And we're like, yes, please prefer. We prefer our guests to be comfortable. We don't care about clear tops. So we switched it to a white top tent. But like even my mom and the wedding planner, we used Cardinal Events in South Carolina. She's the best. Victoria. They had a whole vision. They made this beautiful outdoor space. They had these couches, side tables, lamps, hung stuff from the top of the tent. They had an outside bar. We used that area for the speeches and for the first dances because I've always said my least favorite thing about weddings is when you're doing speeches and people are eating and there's like the clinking and the clanking and like people don't know when to take bites because like they're trying to listen to the speech. I've always just felt it's like very distracting. So we did the speeches during the cocktail hour. So we did the ceremony under a big tree, which is where we got engaged and like where we had one of our first dates, so like under a big tree. So then it was like very full circle. But then we had a longer cocktail hour from 5:30 to 7:30.
And people were like, love how long that cocktail hour was. Because right? It was such a beautiful venue that it's like, well, everyone needed to take photos and people wanted to mingle.
Yeah.
And you having the wedding at 5, it was like there was plenty of time to like chill before people needed to eat. So mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. Thank you for that.
Okay. Yay. Because that was definitely like, that was one of my ideas. I'll give myself credit for that. Because I'm like, wait, I want like you said, to enjoy the space. Like that outside space was so pretty. And to only be out there for an hour, especially like since me and Connor, after the ceremony, we did like a few more pictures because we did a first look so that we could knock out all the family photos before the ceremony. And I highly, highly recommend that. That was so nice because once everyone was there and after we got married, like I wanted to go celebrate. Like I wanted to see everyone. I didn't want to have to go and take more photos. So we did most of them before everyone got there, which was great. And then, yeah, once we got out there, I'm like, I want to enjoy the space. Like I want to have drinks with my friends. Like you said, take photos. because yeah, that outside area of our venue was just so pretty.
So pretty.
Yeah, we did first dances, speeches, and it was funny. I don't know if you saw this happen. I guess you could say it was like a mishap, but not really. But after we and Connor came out, we did our first dance, which was like, first dances are so awkward. I hope it didn't. Everyone said it didn't look awkward, but I felt so awkward. And like, everyone's like staring at you. And I was like, the music needs to be louder. Like, what's going on? No, but it was fine. It was cute. We did our first dance to a song that was playing when we first met. What Do You Mean by Justin Bieber. So kind of random, but like, it was literally playing when we met. And we both like still remember that to this day. So it made sense. Like, it had to be our first dance song. And then I did with my dad and then him with his mom. And then right after he finished his first dance with his mom, this is at like 5:45. The DJ was like, okay, now we're going to do the first speeches. Like, and I was like, I literally went up and I was like, wait, can we have a minute? We just got here. Me and Connor are fully sober. Like, can we save? Like, we are running so ahead of schedule. The schedule literally said like speeches at 6:30. It was 5:45. And so I literally jumped up. He announced the speeches and I jumped up and was like, actually, we're not going to do that. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, no worries. And so this is your reminder, brides, like, you're on the show. You're the one paying people. If you don't want to do the speeches right away, push them off. So we waited 45 minutes. And then I'm like, that probably helped our guests or the speakers to like get a little more relaxed. Like, it just felt so rushed. I'm like, wait, we're jumping right into the speeches? Like, we just got done with the ceremony and like just did the dances.
Yeah, you need to have like a little buffer time to like reset, get into a different vibe.
Yeah, I'm like, I haven't said hi to anybody yet. I just changed my shoes and like did a few photos. I'm like, I have not talked to anyone. I don't want to just jump into the speeches. So that was nice. I just like jumped up and I was like, actually no. And then we got to like talk to people. I think I said hi to you. And then we did the speeches. And then we had some more talking, more mingling. And then it was dinner. And dinner was beautiful.
Stunning.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah. The one thing I requested too, I was like, can we please use the outside porch? I'm sure it's like 50-50. But I think a lot of people do the dinner inside. But the upstairs of our venue had this gorgeous like wraparound, very southern porch, like upstairs porch, you would say. And I was like, can we please put like tables outside so people can sit outside, even if it's going to be a little warmer? It definitely cools off when the sun sets in Charleston, at least in May. And it was beautiful. I'm so happy that we did that because like sunset was like right over the water because this venue is right on this river creek thing. And like the sun was setting right behind everybody and it was just so stunning. And it just felt very Charleston. I'm like, if I want to have a Charleston wedding, I feel like we need to embrace the southern elements. I feel like eating outside in a porch is very southern.
Mm-hmm. Lean into it. It did. It all was very cohesive.
Yeah. And so then we had dinner and everyone said the food was great. And I was like, because a lot of people were saying it was very, very good food. And I highly recommend the venue. It's Dunes West in Charleston. And then we had dancing and my mom hired a gelato, cute little cart guy with like an umbrella who did like gelato outside. We cut the cake outside, did a champagne toast. Oh my God, it was funny because I cut the cake and then I like took a bite or like Connor fed me a bite. And then I just like was done and everyone was screaming, give him a bite, like give him a bite. I'm like, he literally doesn't eat cake. He's like allergic. So it's funny.
We
I'm like,
simply yelling. Cannot.
I'm like, they're like, they thought I forgot him. Everyone was like, you forgot Connor. I'm like, no, he literally will not eat this. He will die. Not really, but definitely don't want to have an allergic reaction.
No.
But then, yeah, one of my mom's friends. So my mom, her friend Kelly, she was a bridesmaid in Kelly's wedding, got us like this really nice bottle of champagne because her husband works for like a wine distributor. So we had to toast like really nice champagne. So that was great. And then we all moved to the dance floor and then I changed into a more comfy dress. Oh, wait, speaking of my dress, that was like one of my favorite parts of the wedding was my dress.
It was so you. Me, Hannah, and Lane, we were like taking guesses of what we thought your dress was going to be. And we nailed it. I was like, open back for sure, because it's like a little revealing, but tasteful revealing. Mm-hmm. And then Lane was like, lace for sure. And then I think Hannah maybe said something like flowers. And we were like, you came out and we were like, oh my God.
You all had an element to it. Yeah.
Oh, sorry to like make that about me, but like, no, it was amazing.
No, I mean, if anyone's going to guess it, Miss Fashion, you, I feel like, could have a finger on the pulse. Like, what?
Well, I think it does go to show that you picked a dress that was truly authentic to you and your style and the venue. Like, it just matched everything so well.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that was one of my favorite parts about finding that dress was like, wait, we're going to get married in Charleston. This is so Charleston. Like, you're so right. It matched the entire aesthetic vibe for sure. But I'm just like, I got this dress in the end of January. And I got it at Lover Girl Bridal, which I had shouted out on previous episodes. Lover Girl Bridal, go there if you want the dress because she'll hook you up. But I was kind of like, I hope no one else like wears this dress. Like I was worried that someone else was going to wear it before, because I feel like nowadays there's like really cool designers and people are wearing the same dresses. Like, I don't know. I feel like I had no idea about bridal designers until I got engaged. Like I literally knew nothing. But now that I've like seen people ever since I got engaged, like I am seeing people wearing, there's like hot designers, which of course there's like hundreds of thousands of brides every single day. And like, I'm only seeing what's on TikTok, but like social media wise, there are like a few designers and dresses that go really viral and like people buy the same one. I was like, please no one wear this dress before I get married. Cause like, it was so unique. And like no one that I knew followed this designer. I knew two people that followed this designer on Instagram and one lives in Dubai and is Lebanese and the other one is Dutch and lives in like the Netherlands. So I was like, please no one find this dress. And so I was very happy that like no one had worn it before my wedding. Not that that would have mattered, but I did like how unique it was and like different. And I feel like that was part of why I loved it so much is like, which is something you've shouted out before on the podcast, is like finding something on your own and not finding it from anybody else or because someone else posted it is so rewarding. Like I felt so rewarded that like I found this designer, I found this dress. I didn't see it on any other influencer or person. Like I found this boutique in St. Louis and like found out that they were having a trunk sale with this designer. And like I found this venue from a waitress
which takes time
who recommended it. Yeah, it takes time. It's like you're curating your own wedding experience. And it like feels so rewarding that like other people like it and like that I love it because it's not like more work or it's not like any more noble, but it just feels really rewarding. And I feel like I wanted to shout you out for like saying that in the past because it's so true.
Yeah, it just makes it feel like, oh, this is meant for me. I'm not just, you know, doing what everyone else is doing. And if there's a time to have a unique dress and a unique experience, it's going to be your wedding day, a very special, sacred celebration. So you want it to feel very true to who you are and just how you want it. And I think that's so valid to be like, I don't want to see this dress circulating TikTok the month before my wedding.
Okay, good. I'm like, that sounds like so conceited. I know people that have had the same wedding dress as other people. So like, it's been on the back of my mind. I'm like, please don't let this happen to me. Yeah, again, it doesn't like invalidate how pretty your dress is or anything. But I'm just like, I cared about having something unique. And I think it paid off. And I know my venue is like popular. Like, it's not like a non-popular venue. Like people have weddings there. But like, I had never seen it on social media. I'd never seen it on a blog or anything. I didn't even find it when I was first searching up wedding venues in Charleston. Like I literally got recommended from our waitress back in February of 2023. So I feel like just finding things and curating is just, yeah, so rewarding.
Yeah, 100%. It's the same reason I'm always like, I don't really want travel recommendations and I'll like not really post that I'm going somewhere. When I was in Oceanside, what was that, 2 weeks ago now? A friend like texted me this long list of recs and I just like didn't reply. And then they messaged me on Instagram and they were like, did you get my message? And I was like, yeah, I didn't read it because like, if you knew me really well, you would know I hate that.
You're like, I want to set my own journey.
Like, yeah. Like if I ask for them, great. And sometimes I do. How unfun would that have been if someone had just been like, oh my God, I found this dress. I think it would be perfect for you. Here's the link. It's like, well, kind of took away the mystery of me getting to find it for myself.
Yeah. Maybe if like they were a stylist and still like in the know and like it was more behind the scenes. Sure. Would have loved that. But like if it was like, oh, I saw this dress on like TikTok and I don't know. Yeah. But if it felt like I was copying someone, it would have been a big turn off to me. Like I wouldn't have wanted to do that.
Yeah. 100%.
But yeah, and if maybe, it was like a friend that like works in bridal, I would, you know, I'd be open to that.
Anything else about the wedding? So, okay, I think we left off gelato, cake cutting. I think we're on the dance floor time now.
Oh my gosh. I mean, dancing was fun. Again, it was like, it just flew by. We did have an accident, not for me, but people were getting so into the dancing that at one point, some of the guys wanted to catch somebody. So this guy like jumped, my cousin jumped up and like was supposed to land in Connor's friend's arms. And he like fully like flew himself at them. They caught him, but then like he landed so hard in their arms that they like bumped heads together and one of them chipped their tooth and the other one, the chipped tooth went into the other person's head. So one of the guys is like gushing blood. I missed all of this, thank God, because I would have like been freaked out. But they were fine. Like, I guess the chipped tooth like had already chipped before. It was like a re-chip. It was just like the casing fell off or whatever, the enamel. And yes, there was like blood all over the dance floor. And it was fine though. Like, again.
What time was this? I totally missed it
like,
too.
I know. It was like at 9:45. So it was like right when the dance floor opened. I mean, Dimitri got a Band-Aid. He kind of closed his forehead wound. And Bernie put some gum over his tooth. So like to cover it. Thank God it wasn't a fresh chipped tooth. But it was funny because he chipped his tooth like 7 or 8 years ago with Connor. Like, so it's just funny that I got re-shipped with Connor.
Oh my God. This is why the venue can't be open until 4 a.m.
Yeah. This is happening at 9 and I want to stay up until 2. Yeah, right. No, you're so right. But other than that, I mean, and again, I missed the whole thing. We danced, and then at 11, we did a little send off. And I guess we did like a little private solo dance, me and Connor, which was cute. Nice way to like end the night, I don't know, with our own moment. Cause I think a lot of the day and after the ceremony was like talking to other people and like entertaining, but then it was like just us. And then we did a send off, which, okay, anyone can steal this idea. Again, another thing that I thought of on my own, I thought it'd be really cool if like everyone turned on like their phone flashlights, kind of like paparazzi. Cause I feel like a lot of people do like the sparkler exit. But, like, imagine walking out and like there's like hundreds of flashlights on you, and like other people like could take an iPhone video too. And we kind of halfway did it. I think people had like their lights because we had these like light up things for the dance floor too. So like half people were holding lights and then half were doing like the iPhone thing, but it looked really cool. But if anyone is getting married soon and doesn't want to do sparkler, get everyone to do the phone flashlight. It will look so sick. Like, have you ever been at a concert where like hundreds of thousands of people have their phone flashlights out? It looks so cool.
Yeah, that was a good idea. That was a statement exit. Yeah. Would you call it an exit, I guess?
Yeah.
Exit onto the bus.
Yeah. And then, okay, that was the bus part. My mom gave out, this was a shout out Lolo, this is her idea of having takeaway pizza because everyone needs like a drunk late night snack. And I feel like late night snacks at weddings are always a hit. So she had takeaway pizza in little boxes that we took onto the party buses. And everyone, except for like people that drove or had their own transportation, got on the party buses to go to downtown Charleston, just continue the fun. So we had like four party buses. It was so much fun. Like, they were like just dancing and screaming. And it was like a 30-minute drive. So we got like 30 minutes to dance and continue on to downtown.
And then what happened downtown? This was then, where I left. So
yeah.
Anything after this point is all news to me.
We had like an unofficial after party at Henry's in the Market in downtown. There was live music. It was fun. But I feel like the wedding was like peak because then at that point we got down there like midnight and I think they closed at like 1. So it was pretty quick. Maybe 1:30. But it was really fun and it was good to continue the night because again, like it goes by so fast. After the dancing started, the whole rest of the night just like flew by.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not because I was like blacked out or anything because I'm sure people are just thinking like, girl, you probably blacked out. No, I was like a good amount of like tipsy drunk because I didn't want to black out because I feel like no bride gets so drunk is so happy that they got like so drunk.
Well, and you pay all this money, you do all this stuff, like you would want to remember it, I would think.
Yeah. Like I want to be like a good amount of drunk. So I was like at a good pace the whole night. And yeah, but it just like, oh my God, it was so sad. It just like flies by. But then yeah, the whole day it was 10 out of 10. Perfect. Amazing. The weather was amazing. No rain. Gorgeous sunny day. I think it was like a high 87. It's like more on the warmer side for sure, but like really not bad. Especially once the sun went down, it was so nice out. Dancing was fun. DJ was fun. I just wish it could like last. It was even like a 4-day weekend because then we had like a little hungover brunch on Monday on Memorial Day. We went out to lunch like all our friends, family at this super cute beachside restaurant called Islander 71. Highly recommend if you were in Charleston, Isle of Palms. That's like the little beach town. But then like once everyone started leaving, I'm like, this is so depressing. What the heck? Like I want this to keep going. I wish this was like a week long or like 2 weeks long, but obviously that's not the case, but it was just cool because there's never like another time in your life where everyone that you and your spouse love are all there. They're all celebrating you. It just like feels so fun and so special. So I was telling Connor, I'm like, we need to get rich so I can have like an all white party every single year, every summer in like Nantucket or something with like the same energy, the same vibes, a catered event, a DJ. That's like goals now because I want to bring everyone together every single year. It was so fun.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
I am very excited to tell you guys about one of our sponsors today, which is Gaia Provides. Gaia Provides has been an OG sponsor of the podcast, and I'll tell you why. It's because we love their products and we want to keep working with them. Gaia Provides is a holistic, small batch company making quality, lab-tested, hemp-based health and wellness products for your pets. So they make CBD treats, CBD tinctures, topical products specifically designed for pets. So that's cats, dogs, and equine. Both Allison and I have some pets that struggle with anxiety. Peaches has a little bit of anxiety. Margo has a little bit of anxiety. Our family dog, Dudley, he gets so anxious, especially storms, and Gaia Provides products have helped him, Margo, and Peaches so much. So we give Dudley the CBD tincture every single time there's a storm, and it really calms him down. I don't know why, but he freaks out with thunder, fireworks, and the Gaia Provides CBD oil has been a lifesaver for Dudley. Margo absolutely loves the chewables. She goes nuts for them, and I'll give them to her when we leave the house for a little bit longer than usual because she has a lot of separation anxiety. She's a COVID March 2020 puppy, so I get it. Gaia Provides is small batch and lab tested for quality, and they're a great company. They care about the community. Part of every single purchase is donated to one of their 3 partner rescue organizations, and they sponsor products for some of the rescue dogs that could benefit from CBD as well. So they just genuinely care and are really good people running this company. They are offering 20% off to customers with the code ALREADYFRIENDS. So if your pet, cat, dog, horse needs any CBD products, please check out Gaia Provides and don't forget to use code ALREADYFRIENDS for that 20% off. And thank you to Gaia Provides for sponsoring the show.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
No, you're so right. Because usually even for holidays, it's like you go to one side of the family and then your friends aren't there, or you do right. stuff with one part of your friend group. But like to have both of your families, both of your friends, that's not often that ever happens.
Yeah, it's rare. It couldn't have gone better. It was seriously just such a good weekend. Like me and Connor were like joking. We were like literally depressed the week after because we're like, now what? Everyone just leaves. And because we stayed till mm-hmm. Thursday, which and that was just fun. We went to the beach and like our families were there. A few of our friends stayed a little bit longer. But then once they were all leaving, we're like, oh my gosh, one by one, everyone's leaving us. And then the fun's over.
Wait. Are you guys, do you have a honeymoon? How do I not know this?
Oh yes. We're going to do something in the fall because I feel like we were already at a cool destination. There was no need to leave Charleston and go somewhere when we were already there for like 8 days. So mm-hmm. we'll do something in the fall, TBD where. I really want to do some like nice hotels with credit card points. Like that's the goal. So I'm just trying to figure out like what I can do to like redeem a really nice hotel for like not that many credit card points. So like, you know, get like a good travel hack.
That's smart to wait though. Cause like you said, it was a multi-day event
mm-hmm.
and to just then go straight into the honeymoon, then the come down from both of those combined would have been like really sad.
I literally don't think I could go on. I think I would have been so depressed, like so, so sad. So I agree. I'm going to like stretch it out, milk it for as long as possible. So,
and then that gives you something to look forward to now.
Yes. Like, I'm really already looking forward to that. I don't know where we're going to go. We're talking about, we like the idea of Portugal. We like Croatia, Montenegro, Spain. I love Spain. And I've been like 3 or 4 times. I would so go back. I haven't seen everything. I haven't really been to like that many places in the south of Spain. Portugal would be really fun. Maybe Thailand.
Especially if you went to one of those places in early fall, then it would be after the busy season and the weather's still like pretty warm still.
Yeah.
That could be very dreamy.
Still great. Time to visit. Flights be way cheaper. I think September and somewhere like that. I mean, I would be down for Greece. I know Greece is like probably one of the number one places. I'm like, I've never been. And if you're going to go, I feel like going for a honeymoon is like a really great option.
Definitely. Yeah, no, Greece is such a quintessential honeymoon destination.
I know. So it's going to be dictated on where I can get like a 5-star hotel with credit card points. That's not going to like drain me of all my points. Something that's going to be like a good travel hack.
Okay. I'll stay tuned.
Yeah, ever since I went on a 5-star hotel shoot in December, I'm like, oh my God, lifestyle creep.
You're like, this is the bar.
This is the bar. Literally. I'm like, oh, people do this every time they travel. Jealous.
Anything else?
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, I will put all my vendors in the show notes and I want everyone to use all of them. Shout out to the photographer, Madison Compton, crushed it. So, so good. I literally found her on TikTok. Amazing. Jesse of J-Core Creative. Amazing. He's a videographer based in Omaha, Nebraska. Hire him. He's so good. It was so nice. And then wedding content creator was Dreamy Content. So her name's Heather. And she was amazing too. And they all travel. The Madison's based in Oklahoma City. Jesse, Omaha. And then the wedding content creator is in Charlotte. Like she travels to all the Carolinas and stuff and also does destination weddings. So please hire all of them because I literally assembled like an amazing content team kind of on accident. Like they all got along really well and they were all so, so talented. I found all of them on social media.
You're like, they need to make a package deal with the three of them.
I know. I'm like, you guys all need to work together. They all were so positive and fun. And I'm like, wow, I really got together like the A++ content team.
I mean, it is your industry. So it makes sense that you have the eye to pick the best of the best.
Yeah. So very excited to see the wedding video and all the rest of the photos. I only got like a sneak peek for now. But it was nice. The content creator sent everything by 7 a.m. the next morning, all the files. And then she edited a few videos and those, I think half of them were in there by 7 a.m. And then the other half came like within 2 or 3 days. So wow. Heather crushed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. That's everything. I mean, there's more I could say, but the rest, if you want another like 30 minutes of information, go to the Patreon.
Which is patreon.com/artyfriends. And we have a bank of like probably what, 30 bonus episodes at this point?
Oh, yeah.
For $5.
Some juicy ones. Very good informational ones. So check that out.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah. Okay. How's Mexico? I mean, I guess we could say that. We didn't even say that. You're sitting in the most gorgeous apartment in Tulum.
Yes, it is very nice. I have just decided money ain't no thing right now because I am so unwell in Omaha. Like I can't be there. My health is declining there. I can't work. I can't sleep. Like what type of cost does that have on my body long term, you know, to be in an environment where the music decibels are like at a volume that can have long term damage. I gotta just keep leaving. And my landlords are still not getting back to me. And I did file an insurance claim last week. And apparently sound is not covered by basically any insurance company. And they suggested that I sue them and go to civil court. I was like, okay, well, probably not going to do that. But I'm basically just like shit out of luck. And getting here it was a nightmare. I was very optimistic about it. I'm sure you guys saw all of the, you know, things on the news and the weather and social media of the delays through Dallas because Texas had like a string of bad storms. So then everything was delayed, canceled. I ended up making friends at the airport and I won't go into the details, but I had a very fun 2 days actually.
At being stranded?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It was a little bit of a fever dream. Because you know, like in the airport, time is not real. All of your duties are just kind of like, it's like you're stranded and your flight's canceled. So what are you really supposed to do? I'm like, it's midnight on a Friday. Like might as well just lean into whatever the heck is going on here. And so finally got here, that lost my luggage, had to go shopping. But my Airbnb, she's gorgeous. It's great. Finally like got unpacked today. And right before we recorded, I went and rented an ATV. Thank God they have ATVs here now in Tulum. It was just like mopeds and bicycles. Mm-hmm. The roads are so bad in Tulum. It's like probably its biggest downfall is how bad the roads are. It is insanity. So I was like, I'm going to have to get an ATV. And the guy was such a homie. Honestly, everyone has been so nice to me for 2 days. I'm like, I mean, thank God, like this was not really the most ideal situation, but you know, we all banded together and yeah, this guy gave me a really good deal. It was 600 pesos a day for the ATVs. And there's just supposed to be everything I read online, like double that basically. But I showed him where my Airbnb was and he's like, that's so far. And I was like, yeah, I walked home last night. And he's like, what? You're crazy. He's like, the Jaguars will get you. You walked home? I'm like, yeah, I wanted to be scared. And he's like, no, what price do you want for this ATV? You're not walking home.
Oh my God. Are they actually Jaguars? Like, so he was concerned.
He was like, never. Do not do that.
Yeah, because when you say home, Tulum is so spread out. Like, because that's what I've heard about. I mean, I'm just assuming. Like, I've heard the Airbnbs are very far away.
There's like a downtown strip and then a few miles away, there's like the beach and there's this zone in between that's still very jungly. And so it can be like blocks in between Airbnbs and houses. And, you know, in a city that wouldn't seem like much, but when it's dense jungle in between for a few blocks with no streetlights, it's a little spooky and there's like not really good service out here. But I obviously, since the reason I'm here is to have quiet, I wanted to be removed away from the noise. Because if you're in more of like the downtown area, the more populated areas, you know, it's loud, people are going out, there's new construction happening. And so I was prioritizing quiet and being here for 2 weeks. I also, you know, there were only so many options to have one place for two straight weeks. I didn't want to like move around. I was like, once I get there, like I'm not leaving. I want to unpack, put groceries in the fridge, feel like I'm living there. And so I found this very beautiful place, two stories, private pool. And yeah, where does that bring me to? Today's Tuesday. Yeah, I'll be here till next Friday.
Okay, good. So I'm working on my sounds so fun.
I know. All of this, I'm like, is the universe telling me I can't get an apartment in Omaha anymore? I think that's actually what's happening because it's like roadblock after roadblock on like Omaha things. The day before I left, I had two apartment tours lined up. And the girl calls me like for two different buildings, same leasing company, that she accidentally cut her hand opening and had to cancel the apartment tours. Like there's like a few more instances where like every tour that I like had, like something insane would come up. And I'm like, oh, am I not supposed to be getting an apartment in Omaha apparently? And the music is so loud and just keeps getting louder. And like, you know, my landlord's not getting back to me. So I'm like, guess I'm supposed to leave.
Yeah. Would you ever move? I guess I never asked you that.
I know. Well, now at this point, I'm like, I have to get a new apartment and I have to move. If I'm moving anyway, might as well move, right?
Should you just move?
Yeah. So I need to decide if I should like put my stuff in storage then, because I do have quite a lot of nice things that I like don't want to sell forever. Like I just got that whole brand new bed set from Silk and Snow. And I'm going to want a home at some point. But I was like, you know what? I've been working on making my life more remote. Peaches is here with me in Tulum. She can go everywhere now. Mm-hmm. And we can do the podcast remote. I can manage the shop remote. I have to come back sometimes. I can just like do more social media stuff. Maybe I will not go home.
Would you move to Mexico or would you move to somewhere in the US or TBD?
At this point, nowhere in the US is really calling me. I just like the warmth and the food. I kind of have a bad taste in my mouth with the US right now. I don't know. Like, actually, that's mean. I don't even know why I said that. Like when I went to Oceanside, it was nice. But like food, I am such a foodie. And I hate that our food in America just like makes us fat. It's like, I can't even exist. Like we should have the right to have healthy, accessible food and it not be $1 million. Like you go to the grocery store in the US and it's like $100 for like 2 days of food. You barely can get anything if you're like eating good and healthy. Here and in Colombia, like there's no such thing as organic really. It's just like food is just grown. And that is such a basis for my happiness because I feel like if I'm not eating well, then I'm not working out well, then my brain is like not feeling creative and I'm not inspired. And so much of my work requires me to like feel good and be inspired. So it turns into this like domino effect. So I kind of feel like I have to start with having the best living situation and good food and accessible places to work out. And then everything else is just follows after that.
So all of a sudden, Mexico and Colombia are looking appealing.
They are looking very appealing. It was so easy to get peaches into Mexico. Oh my goodness. She's already been to Canada.
Okay, that's really good to know. I would not have known that, honestly.
I was like with someone when I took peaches into the room where they like examined her. And he used to live in Mexico. And I was like, oh, they're like looking for fleas. And he's like, no, Allison, they're looking for drugs in her ears and stuff. And I was like, seriously? And he's like, yes.
Oh my God.
It was like me being literally so naive.
Wait, that's so sad. Peach is not a mule, a drug mule.
I know. Can you imagine?
She's a sweet
like,
angel.
Shoving drugs like into that's places of their dog. Like that is fucked up.
Well, she made it. And
yes. Oh my God. And then the last thing. So my luggage was missing.
Yeah. Which is a bummer because you said you never check it and they pressured you into checking it, right?
Yes. I was like, okay, I'll be nice because I had gone up to the desk lady and was like, hey, you know, I'm traveling with my dog. And she was like, okay, I'm going to move you up to 8A, which is like the best fucking seat on the plane minus first class, in my opinion. It's the aisle directly after first class. So it's much bigger and just really roomy. So she did me a favor and upgraded me for free to a really good seat, gave me priority boarding, and there was no one in the seat next to me. And I was like, if it makes it better, I'll check my bag. And she was like, that would actually help a lot. So wow. I was like, you know, we were helping each other out.
Yeah.
And then I also thought it would just be easier to not have to carry peaches, I brought all my podcast equipment, two laptops, clothes for 2 weeks. My bag, like my carry-on was like pretty fucking heavy. I also didn't want to like hoist it up into the bins. But now, yeah, we'll probably always be doing a carry-on because
I'm never doing that again.
It ends up on a flight to Cancun, which is a couple hours from here. So I get this text on WhatsApp on Friday night at like 10:30. And this guy's like, hey, I have your luggage. Send me your location. And I was like, is this American Airlines? Like, this, what? Is this how you guys do things? This is crazy. So I just send him that location of this like kind of like cafe bar I was at. And sure enough, like 2 hours later, this guy in a van just like pulls up with my suitcase and everything was in there.
Wow. That was smart. Good on you. So put it as like a public location. You're like, okay, well, I'll just wait it out here just in case.
You know, that's true. I actually didn't even think about that. I wasn't trying to be safe. I just was not trying to go home. I was like, well, I'm out. It's a Friday night. I'm like, I'm meeting people. Yeah. Because then the people I was with, they had a rental car. And I was like, this is kind of nice. Because then when it shows up, like they'll just be able to drive me home tonight.
Oh my God. Yeah, because otherwise that probably would have been, I guess you could just Ubered or something, but that doesn't sound
No, there's
fun.
No Uber here.
Okay, see, things I don't know because I've never been to Tulum. So how do you get around?
That's why I had to rent the ATV for 10 days.
Jeez. Okay, did there used to be Uber in the past? And did they like boycott it? Because I feel like I remember seeing TikToks in like 2020, 2021 of like an Uber, like Tulum is very spread out, an Uber to like the beach is like $85 or something crazy. Maybe it was just a taxi.
Yeah, no, even the taxis. Like when Jesse and I came in February, we were switching from an Airbnb to a hostel. And it was not that far. And he was trying to charge us like $30 to just kind of get to the other end of the strip. And we were like, yeah, we're going to walk because it like, I don't know, it was maybe like 2 miles, which it is a long walk. But I was like, why are we paying $30? It's going to take you 5 minutes.
Absurd.
Anyway, so yeah, if you come to Tulum, you're pretty much, you have to get a moped or an ATV.
Oh, geez.
The potholes are so bad. And if you have either like your luggage or groceries, it's kind of unbalanced on the moped. But yeah, the going regular price for an ATV is $55 a day, which is more than a rental car. But the rental cars like get so fucked up on these roads.
Yeah.
I don't know. They got to get this situated.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's on the up and up because like the new airport just opened. So that's a good sign, right?
Yeah. And I flew into it. It was stunning. So nice. So clean. Like kind of was further away than I thought though. It's like 15 miles away from Tulum. I'm like, if you guys are going to put all the effort in, why didn't you just put it right here?
Yeah.
But maybe they're anticipating Tulum
more
to grow
build
all
out.
The way to the airport.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, yeah, it's been good. It'll be a fun 10 days and peaks. We should probably
I know.
Keep trucking.
This is what happens when me and Allison don't catch up for a long time. I guess we had a whole wedding to recap. Okay, peaks. I'm going to say my peak obviously has to be my whole wedding weekend and how much fun we had. And yeah, I mean, me and Connor had a blast and it was so fun to marry my best friend. Ew, so PDA, so gross, but it's true.
That is not gross. That is so cute.
Yeah, so it was just so 100 out of 10. We stayed in like these amazing rental houses with gorgeous views. Like all my friends had a blast. It was just so fun to have everyone there. I wish I could do it all over again, but obviously just have to relive it through all the pictures and videos and stuff.
And you could have, you know, a 5-year or a 10-year anniversary party.
I literally need to. Like, it was so much fun. I have to. Well,
congratulations again. It was so beautiful and you looked amazing and it went so well all around.
I agree. So yeah, shout out Cardinal Events, my mom, everyone that helped, McKenna, stylist, picking out the bridesmaid dresses, helping me with all my outfits. She crushed it.
I love that.
What's your peak?
I would say the people that I met in line at the airport because it turned a not fun situation into a good time. Honestly, it was giving the same energy as when you and I's flight in Colombia got canceled.
I was just
literally
gonna
the
say
same
that.
Thing. So similar.
That was
like
fun.
We're just like at the hotel, we're like hanging out, and it's kind of like, is this real life? Like, I guess this is what we have to do right now.
That's so cute. Yeah, like we literally got stranded 5 years ago in Cartagena. Not stranded, but they just fully canceled it to the next day. We made friends with all those people and had dinner and hung out.
I literally still watch Joe's stories like every day.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Joe. And it was just so weird. Like, you're right. It wasn't like real life because even the one guy that we became friends with that night was on our flight there and he like sat by us. We never talked to him then. He was in all my videos that we took when we were landing because I was like vlogging it. So weird.
I forgot about that. And then we shared an Uber with him back to Brooklyn.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's just like the people that you meet when you're traveling, you're just immediately bonded deeper because it's like, how did this work that we all ended up in the same place at the same time in the same situation? And especially like adding the layer of like how all of our luggage was like lost. It's like, all right, we're all just going to be like feral right now. And this is what it is. And you see, we like got so close very quickly because there was no other choice.
Yeah. You're like, we have to be optimistic and take this moment by moment.
Okay. And reading your guys' peaks of the week. Oh my God, there's so many that you guys sent in this week. There must be some good energy in the air right now. I'll say this one from Agatha because it's very on brand. She said, moving countries for my studies and discovering myself. Started going to dance class alone as well. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you.
Brooke said, today's my birthday. Happy birthday, Brooke. Hope you had the best day ever.
Aw. Okay, this sounds so mean, but there's this TikTok that I've been wanting to reshare on my Instagram stories. And it's like, happy birthday to everyone forever. Okay. I can't remember everyone's birthdays because I feel like in my life, it's literally someone's birthday every day. And it's like, you know what? Sorry, I got to 10 p.m. and didn't text you yet. You know, I was having a crisis and then the refrigerator broke. Happy birthday. You know, I love you. Me not saying happy birthday does not negate that. I'll share it. It's like so funny. But each day that I remember to go reshare it, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's my aunt's birthday. It's my good friend's birthday. And I'm like, I don't want them to think this is a personal attack. So I need to find a gap.
No, I think that's so fair. And if anyone forgets your birthday, just know it's not personal. I have a friend, one of my bridesmaids, Sarah. She will text me like 2 or 3 days after my birthday every single year. And I'm just like, it's even more special because I'm like, I just know I'm waiting for Sarah's text whenever it comes around. And it's funny and hilarious. And it's like a bit at this point.
Anyway, sorry. Happy birthday to everyone forever. Okay.
Yeah. Moral of the story, happy birthday.
Oh, this one sounds awesome. Ishkara said she went to a pottery workshop with some friends. That sounds delightful. What a fun activity to do with your friends.
And Jaylin said her peak was her honeymoon in Japan, but also coming home. Quote, I'm such a homebody and I love routine. Congratulations. Hope you had the best time in Japan. That sounds amazing. Maybe I'm going to need some recs for my honeymoon. So send them my way, please.
I want to keep reading them. There's so many good ones and I'm just so proud of you guys, but we'll move on. As always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday at Already Friends Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now for the opinionated AF segment, we're going to play part of these videos so that you guys can get the context of what we're talking about. And then we're going to give our opinions on these hot takes.
Which one are you feeling first?
Okay, let's start light here with the whole Chipotle situation. As a devout Chipotle lover, it is the only thing that I eat when I am home. My credit card statement with DoorDash of Chipotle, it's scary. but you know what? It's small things in life. And everyone is saying how the portions are getting smaller. And maybe Nebraskans eat good, but the Chipotle bowls in Nebraska are still fucking huge. Like when I take my lid off, I'm like, it's like spewing out the sides. And the other day when I went, the person had to get a second tortilla to try to wrap up the burrito. And it was like all falling out everywhere. So I like keep seeing these videos on TikTok. And I'm like, what states is this happening in? Come to Nebraska because smooth sailing over here.
Y'all are eating good. Yeah. Okay, play the video because this is so funny.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I gave like no context, but basically the Chipotle CEO responded to the hate and the allegations of everyone claiming that the portion sizes are getting smaller.
First, I can tell you the portions have not gotten smaller. One of the things I think it's great about Chipotle is if you come into the restaurant and you want a little more rice or you want a little more pico, all you got to do is kind of like, and usually our guys and women give them a little more scoop. And we always want to give people big portions that get them excited about the food. It's kind of who we are. I mean, these are big burritos. These are big bowls. Our goal is to give people great experiences. Now, if you want double the amount of meat, you got to pay for it. But yeah, you know, our goal is to get people really excited about what I believe is really delicious food.
If you watch that video, we'll link in the show notes, but like the way he literally says, yeah, just like give an aggressively mean look, like a confused look to our employees and they'll give you more food. Like that's your statement.
Okay, but I think there's some validity because if you're staring, like, okay, if I go with one of my guy friends, it's like they're obviously trying to get as much food as possible. They will be like looking this worker in the eye, and like that pressure makes them scoop more. And I'll even say, like, I'll be like, oh, rice. And then I like both beans in there. So I, instead of saying both beans, because then I would get half and half, I'm like, yeah, do some pinto beans. I'm like, actually, I'll get some black beans too. Because then if I say it after,
they like have proper to know that's what you're doing, which is smart, but like they're probably like, this fucking bitch.
I know, like, but everyone
you have
does
to
it.
Do it.
Yes. And I think I like that the CEO is on board with the fact that there's some nuances to how the customer and the worker get to go about filling up their bowl or burrito. It's like, it's kind of like dealer's choice. If you're going to be a customer that's willing to put in a little extra winkage pressure, you're going to get what you want.
Okay, I will say, I fully agree that the portions have gotten smaller. So I'm happy for you, Nebraskans, but like, it's ridiculous. Like, we road trip. We've been driving to visit my parents, like driving to Charleston, and like Connor has all these food allergies. So we get Chipotle. We're on these road trips. Like, we'll get it for lunch. And then if we can't find something else that he can have for dinner, we'll just like get it for dinner again. And like, so we've been like Chipotle's in probably 10 different states in the last 6 months. I'm not even kidding. It is such a valid criticism. Like, I was thinking this months ago. Like, we stopped somewhere in Tennessee and I was already like really hangry. I was very excited. And going up to my wedding, I was on the big protein kick and I didn't get double meat, but I opened it and there was like literally 6 pieces of chicken, and Connor got double meat and he had like 8 pieces of steak. I'm like, you need to go back inside and complain right now. Like, that is actually unacceptable. Like, so the funny thing at Chipotle, if you just get steak and rice, just those two things, like, is what Connor gets because he has all the allergies, they still charge you the full price if it's double meat. So Connor pays $17 for double meat and rice. That's how much it costs. So for him to get like skimped on the protein, I'm like, you need to go inside right now and say like, absolutely not. Because they have this thing called the three-pointer. So if you get 3 ingredients or less, you get a discount. But when you get double meat, it negates the three-pointer. I think $17 for 2 items, like, they usually hook it up. Honestly, they have been really good about getting him like the meat. But sometimes it's really disappointing. And I have been disappointed lately because I used to go to Chipotle my junior and senior year of high school. And I would pay like $7 and have this giant, giant bowl that I would eat over 2 days. Like, I would eat it one day and then I would finish the rest the next day. That does not happen anymore. Like, I get a bowl and I eat the rest of it in a day.
Like, oh my God, no, this is so my existence. The bowls
difference in
Nebraska are still like that. Like, I will eat the same bowl for 2 days.
I only had that happen once in the last year. And it was when I got double chicken, I think on one of the stops in Tennessee. Maybe like Hendersonville, Tennessee. I got double chicken and it was like my senior year of high school filled bowl. Like, so much rice, so much lettuce, so much chicken. I'm like, it literally like flashed me back to high school. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what they used to look like for $7. And that was like $12.95 or something. And that was like the most full I'd ever been in so long. So I think Keith Lee, the food critic guy, spearheaded this whole thing. And I think he was spot on. Like, I think they've been, I don't know if it was like a top down, like maybe they didn't necessarily send out a memo, but there's definitely been some influence to not give as much, because even when Connor went in to complain, it was like, I should have taken a picture, honestly. It was such little protein for double protein for $17. She like kind of rolled her eyes and like scoffed at him. It's like,
I feel like it could be valid if they kind of scoffed back if he got the other ingredients. But the fact that there is only rice and steak in there, that is so sad. It's like, look at this poor man. He can't even get guacamole in there. Yeah. Like, just give the man a little bit extra rice.
It's like literally a ripoff, but it's the only thing he can eat. I'm telling him, I'm like, you need to find out. You need to go in person, get the three-pointer, because I think a regular bowl is what, like $9, $10? So I think the three-pointer is like $2 or $3 off. So I think it's like $7. And then I'm telling him, I'm like, you need to go in and just order a side of steak.
Yeah.
And then that's going to be like $4. That has to be cheaper than $17 every single time.
I mean, I'm not going to say I feel amazing when I'm eating Chipotle every single day. Like, it definitely makes me bloated. But it is like the least worst option if I'm eating out in Omaha.
Well, I will have to come back and do a portion check.
I'm make a video about photos. It. I'm going to like, I'll put them on our website of being.
No, I'm like happy for you. Like, you're lucky. The rest of us out here are starving. No, it's just, I used to pay and get two meals and now it's just one meal. So RIP.
Maybe it's because literally everything else about Omaha right now is like really downhill for me that they're like, at least give her a regular size Chipotle bowl.
Just keep the portions normal. Okay, what's next?
Okay, I'm in this a good laughing mood. I want to do the Daddy Academy one because I think it's funny that the Daddy Academy has not shown up on Kara's For You page at all because clearly she is a loyal married woman now. Meanwhile, my feed is like full of the Daddy Academy and like all my girlfriends that are like dating, single. It's like we just talk about the Daddy Academy all the time.
Yeah, Allison said, she's like, oh my gosh, we should talk about the Daddy Academy. And I'm like, wait, who? And that goes to show that our For You pages are very personal, very customized.
They are. And my take on the Daddy Academy is that he has changed the dating landscape so much that even the guys, because he basically says like this, if a guy likes you, he'll do this. If he doesn't like you, he'll do this. And I swear to God, the men out there are watching his videos to learn the recipes. And then it's like rinse and repeat. Or all guys just think the exact same. But yeah. In my girly group chats, it's like, wow, that guy definitely is taking notes from Daddy Academy. So I'll play one for you guys. I mean, I don't even know which one to play because they're all hilarious. His name is Nico. He's got this New York accent. I'll do this one. It has a lot of views.
If he wanted to, he would. Ladies, welcome to the Daddy Academy. I'm about to give you the ugly truth about if he wanted to, he would. Every single thing a man does in dating is 100% intentional. I'll say it again, 100% intentional. If you haven't heard from him in 3-4 days, 100% intentional. If he hasn't taken you out on a date in 2-3 weeks, 100% intentional. Okay, everything is intentional. Every man knows what he wants. Men are very purpose, accomplishment driven. So if there's a woman that he's really interested in, he's not going to go 3-4 days without contacting her. He's not going to go 2-3 weeks without taking her on a date, okay? Men are going to prioritize the women that he wants to go out with. Ladies, you give men the benefit of the doubt way too much. I got DMs, ladies asking me for help, being like, oh, like he didn't take me out, but he's been Snapchatting me. Totally intentional. He doesn't want to give you the wrong idea by texting you, so he's Snapchatting you. Keep a little more low key, keep you on the hook, keep you on the roster. Unless the man you're talking to, let's be real for a second. Let's be real. Unless the man you're talking to has his own business, is pursuing a dream that is crazy, and he really needs to put a lot of time and mental effort into, is making well over 6 figures, is in the gym 5-6 days a week, like really about his fitness. Like, how could he be that busy? How could he be that busy that he can't answer a text or give you a phone call? If he can, you know, if he is so busy, why can't he pick up the phone and call you for 15 minutes? Just be like, hey, I'm sorry, babe, I've been real busy, but like, just want to let you know I'm thinking about you. I want to take you out next week. If he wanted to, he would. Very true.
It keeps going. And he gives all kinds of dating advice. There's like scroll his page, like vulnerability, express your intentions for dating, your Memorial Day weekend fling. He wants to see you but won't make a plan. Women making the first move, self-confidence. Like, he's got videos on everything. And he kind of gives me the same energy as Leo Skeppy. And you guys know I loved Leo. I still love Leo, but I feel like he's a similar creator where there's like cut and dry. He is not sugarcoating anything. And I just love watching them. It's hilarious.
No, I will say that advice, even though I'm married, now I'm like so not in this conversation, but I will say in the last year, my friend who's younger than me, single, was talking to this guy and he was such a catch, like was so nice. We all hung out, all went out, like had a great time. And he was totally doing that, like not texting her back. And I was like, it's fine. Like, he's busy. Like, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt because I like, we had so much fun with him. And I was like, he's so normal. He's not playing games. 3 months later, it fizzled out. Like, he was so playing games. And I was fully giving him the benefit of the doubt. And like, I regret to say, because her other friends were being like, no, cut him off. Like, and I was like, they're being crazy. Like, he's just busy. Like, because he does have like a more busy job than other people. But like, no, he, if he wanted to, he would. Like, he put this girl in a box, decided that he wasn't going to pursue her. And I was like, this guy's end game. Like, he's so cute. You guys are so cute together. So normal, so nice, polite, great parents. Like, I was like, it's fine. He's too, like, but no, that advice was
more right. I know
Nico
also said that immediately, like within 5 minutes, a guy will put you in the category of like hookup, wants to like date, marry you, or like completely not interested. And he's like, you go into that bucket immediately and then you don't change. And I think like it's so different for women.
I like knew that too, but I thought he put her in the middle bucket, but was just like not responding to her. She's like, he hasn't texted me back in a week. I'm like, it's fine. Like, don't stress. But no, it was like not fine. That guy was right.
And when we all spend like so much time on our phones every day,
you do have to,
yeah. Like if you go 4 days without like even like sending a little meme over DMs, like a quick text, like a voice memo, a Snapchat, like nothing, 4 days, just like silence. And you guys are like talking, probably not.
Yeah, that advice is spot on. Even though, like I said, I'm not in the dating landscape. I fully fell for that. And it proved out to just be exactly what he said. Like if they wanted to, they would.
He has this bit about like Saturday night being like prime time spot. And he'll be like, if you're getting like Tuesday afternoon walks and coffee dates, he's like, that's not the prime spot of the week. He's like, if you're getting Saturday nights, you're in.
Wow.
So that also like plays into it too. Cause like, you might just be like, oh my God, no, he's like, there's only one Saturday night. And he's like, in a man's week, that is the most valuable time of the week where like they're off from work. They want to have fun. They want to indulge. And if you're getting that slot, you're good. And he's like, and if you're not, someone else is.
That's so true. Okay. The last thing that I did think of, you always hear the stories of, and like fully agree with what he's saying. Cause you always hear the stories of the girls that break up with their boyfriend, that the boyfriend dumps her, and then they get engaged like 6 months later. And like, they have been like a situation or like being strung along for like 2-3 years. And then they literally,
Wanted to have done it, he would have proposed.
Like he knew from the start, probably whether or not it was going to be end game or long term or not.
There's a lot to say, but that's enough for now.
Okay. So you highly recommend Daddy Academy. I really love that account name. Good for him.
And he does ones where he has like a chalkboard behind him and he'll be like, all right, class is in session. And he like draws things up on the chalkboard.
Oh, wait, that's cute. That's funny.
So yes, I'll definitely link his page. Haters are ugly. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, this one was heated. Okay, this one's a very controversial. Well, not very controversial, but some people were not. They like half liked it. They liked the intention, but maybe not the whole thing. So let's give our thoughts.
You think a hot person goes on TikTok, watches the TikTok, and is like, I feel so strongly about this that I have to comment someone something negative? No, that's only ugly people. That's ugly behavior. That's true. Hot people, comment down below. You don't get mad over TikTok, right? Because you can just go look in the mirror and be like, why am I mad? Why am I mad? I look like this. It's only ugly people that have nothing to do. Am I wrong? Like, if you had friends and loved ones and things going in with like good in your life, would you comment something negative on a TikTok?
No, if I was with the love of my life, I would not. But how I perceive it is these people are worse than me. It's like in customer service, when people get mad at you, it's like you go home and you have nothing. You think a hot person goes on TikTok? Watch.
How many likes does that have? Please share.
217,000.
Yeah, so it's like there's people that agree. I just feel like if you're ever getting hate, if you ever go viral, because nowadays everyone goes viral and you get there's a lot of negative people out there. Just remember that video. Remember that no one that's doing better than you is commenting on your videos, negative things.
Yeah, and it's always like you look at their account and it's like, it's always the people that are like following 200, have like 12 followers and their profile picture is like a cat.
or no profile picture. It's, yeah. Because I think some of the criticism was like, hey, let's not equate people's looks to their morals. But I think the whole thing is like, if they're hot and confident, they're not acting like that. And it's true. No one I follow and look up to is leaving hate comments. I'm sorry. They're just not.
Okay. This is going to be a little bit roundabout, but I actually believe that being hot kind of takes a lot of effort. Like it's not easy to get up and go to the gym every day, to eat well, do your skincare, have good hygiene, put in the work. And so the people that are like really hot have done the healing, have done the stuff to be confident, happy, healthy, wealthy. They were probably not that at some point. So they know what it took to get up there. And they're just not going to waste their time leaving negative comments because they're like, that's not going to help me. I already am beyond that type of behavior, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like if I've ever seen a comment from a hot person, it's like they have to be so deeply insecure. Because I feel like I have seen some big TikTok accounts of like quote unquote attractive people that have like left some hatery comments, but they're just like deeply insecure.
I think there's different types of hate comments where it's like maybe if they're hating on the idea of what's talked about in the video, or if it's like political or something, yes, like other big creators, other hot people will comment. But if it's just like, oh, bro, you're ugly, like a hot person's probably not just gonna do that.
Yeah.
I will agree.
That's ugly person behavior.
Or to like say something about their outfit or their skin, like to just make a low physical comment.
And if you find yourself doing those behaviors, I'm not going to be the one to say it, but like maybe you're ugly.
I know the top comment was like, well, did he lie?
I know. I think because I saw some people commenting that like I'm friends with on TikTok that were like kind of mad that like, again, that they were like equating looks to like, or like, you know, maybe inferring that like ugly people are trolls. But like, there's another video that we didn't play, but like, I don't know.
Okay. I'll read some of the rebuttal comments. Plenty of hot people are unhappy and plenty of ugly people are happy and satisfied. To be fair though, he didn't say that they weren't happy or weren't unhappy. He said they're not going to leave a hate comment. Someone else said, I don't think you realize how messed up some hot people are and how vile they act behind anonymity.
I don't know.
All right.
Do you think that there's hot people on a burner account commenting?
I don't know. Are they busy?
I think in my head when I'm seeing hot person not leaving comments, I'm literally thinking like being hot is a mindset. And I know that super Gen Z and like super boss babe podcast thing to say, but I'm like genuinely thinking that.
I'm thinking like successful. I'm not thinking physically hot. I'm thinking healthy, wealthy,
highly favored, like, blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we can add that asterisk into that video and then say like, all right, then now it has our sample approval, but maybe just looks, there's some layers to that.
Maybe there's some truth to that video. We're not saying it. But if you find yourself being a hater, maybe you need to glow up.
Okay, well, now I do have to do one more because this one is called Looks Matter, basically.
I know, that was the one I was thinking of.
I'm a fat, old, black ass nigga. Looks matter. They matter. I just turned 40 this past March, and one of my biggest regrets is not realizing just how important looks are and how much your appearance matters in this world. Human beings are naturally superficial. It's a part of our biology. It's ingrained in us. We can't help it. We are biased toward treating people who look good better. It's just the facts of life. The faster you realize this and the faster you accept this, the better off you will be in the long run. There are a lot of aspects about yourself that you can't change, but the ones that you can, change them as quickly as possible while you are still young and you have the energy, the flexibility, the agility, the time, and the resources to really work on yourself and your appearance. I'm working on my stuff right now as we speak. I've had a number of health setbacks over the years, but I can tell you that getting on social media and seeing all the reactions that I have gotten to my appearance, not that it has had a psychological impact on me in a way, because I'm fundamentally aware of the fact that, you know, I'm overweight. But I think for me, it was kind of bittersweet just seeing the reaction, because it's like you just realize that as human beings, we just can't help but to be judgmental and to be superficial. And there's no use in trying to fight that. And if you really want to mitigate the stress of constantly worrying about your appearance, work on it. Because it is a fixable issue for most people, for the vast majority of people. It's fixable. You just got to work on it. You just got to take the time, sit down, do your due diligence, and put in the time and effort to really work on your appearance and how you want others to perceive you. Physically, that is. Now, your personality, that's all, it's a whole different story. I'm only talking about looks in this particular contest. So that being said, if you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, while you still have the energy, while you still have the time, because you may not have kids and a wife yet, please work on yourself. And even
I want to give him a hug.
At least he's self-aware. Does that mean?
It's a cruel world out there. Just him saying the comments part, I mean, he's kind of sad.
For sure. But with the way social media and Hollywood and everything is, people talk about beauty standards, but hot take, I really feel like anyone that looks in any type of way can be hot and attractive. Like, it doesn't matter what your ethnicity is, what your body type is, how tall, short, eye color, your facial structure. Like, there are so many different looking people on social media, Hollywood, movies, musicians, everything, that they like decided that they had the it factor and that they were hot. And then other people just like got on board.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of things I want to say. One, being hot in real life is different than being hot on social media. Like, think about how social media is like every single person ever in the world. People that are like so much hotter than someone that you would ever even come in contact with, like wherever you live. So I feel like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself. Like, I don't know if you really need to be like that hot to be hot where you are. Cause you could just live in like a small town and like the middle of nowhere, and you looking good there might not be the same as like being hot online.
Well, yeah. And I agree, of course. And I think that that's why we all compare ourselves, is because online you're seeing the best of the best, you know, in movies or whatever. And people use, you know, their best angles, filters, whatever. But if you want to be hot for yourself and then you leave the town, like let's say you think you're like the hottest fish in your like little small town. Well, if you leave, then you're going to be really insecure if you don't feel like you're just okay with how you look in general. Like, if you're only just trying to be the hottest person in the room, there's a lot of rooms to go in. So I think it's more about being secure with who you are. And if you don't like things, either like figure out how to accept them or change them. so that then you can feel confident and happy and secure when you travel, when you go to different rooms, when you get that promotion, because you're going to end up in different environments. And then that's, I think, when imposter syndrome starts to play into it too, because if you don't feel like you belong, then you're not going to end up staying in the room.
I feel like his video, I could be wrong, I feel like it's more about not being hot, because I mean, I'm trying to like understand where he's coming from and why he wanted to make that video, but I feel like it's more about not hating yourself and like accepting yourself or changing what you don't like about yourself so that you can not wake up every single day and hate yourself versus being hot. Because in your 20s and 30s, like, sure, there are situations where being hot will help you. But I feel like as you age, being hot is like less relevant. Am I wrong? I don't feel like people are like looking at 60-year-olds and they're like, oh, they're hot.
I fully disagree.
Because what are you thinking?
I just think attractive people get better treatment in life.
So you look at an 80-year-old woman, you're like, she's a smoke show. I'm going to let her cut me in the grocery store.
No. Well, okay. So the lady that I've been working with, I'm like helping her with social media. She's almost 60 and she's stunning. And I see how people treat her. She gets a lot of good treatment and she's 60. And, you know, I'm not going to like the treatment I got this last couple of days. I think it's because I was being nice and being cute. I don't know. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I do think people are nice. Well, okay. Also, if you know, it's like look good, feel good.
Yeah.
So if you like how you look and you're comfortable with who you are, then you're going to radiate better energy. And then people are going to be more willing to do things for you, refer you, want to hire you, go out of their way to, you know, make your life better because you're making their life better. And it just keeps perpetuating that, I guess.
Yeah. I feel like the guy, maybe I'm summarizing this wrong, but I feel like he's trying to say like, look, it's a game. You have to play the game. And it took me a long time to realize that. But now he's going to play the game. I don't know. Is that what you're getting from it?
I kind of am getting that. Like he was kind of saying he thought looks didn't matter. So he thought it was okay to let himself go. And now he's like, oh, I should try again. Because now because people were like, let me see what you used to look like. And he posted it. And people were like, unk, what happened, man? You got to get that back. And he's like, I know, I'm trying. And so I guess to say he's been on both sides. He was like, yeah, it was really attractive. My life was better. People treated me better. I let myself go. And now I don't know what's all happened, but.
And he's just saying, hey, looks matter.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, that's what he thinks is the reality, which I mean, I'm not going to disagree. I feel like I don't want to be like, I have pretty privilege, but I've definitely, like you said, have been treated definitely because I'm like a cute girl.
100%.
Like, have you ever been asked the question, if you would have the choice, would you want to be a man or a woman? Because I always say I would still be me. Because I love going to Vegas and having everything free, or like smiling and being cute and like posing for pictures. Like, I love it all. Even if like there's misogyny, I still like it.
Same. I guess it's kind of like, if that's how our world is going to be, again, it's like, might as well play the game. I'm not going to be like, don't give me the free stuff. Don't let me go to the front of the line. Don't give me the free hotel. Why would I say no?
Which, yeah, that's definitely messed up. And I'm not even saying that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's
saying this
like,
is good.
It's like wrong to be judging people based on like, yeah... But life isn't fair.
No, it's not. But everyone, I think what he's also trying to say in this video is like, you can change it. He was like, most of the stuff that you feel is making you unattractive, we have the power to change. You can go to the gym. You can get skincare products. You can fix your hygiene. You can buy different clothes. You can develop style. You can meditate and do breath work so that you have like a calming aura about you. You can get a tan if that makes you feel better. You can fix your teeth. You can whiten them. Whatever you need to do that makes you feel better. Pretty much this day and age, you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not even all of it even costs money. It just takes effort.
Yeah. That was a hot take. I feel like we can end on that. I mean, and you know what? I'll say some of like the hottest people I know are not conventionally hot. Like, they're not like Kim Kardashian looks. They're not like the standard of beauty. It's like their aura and the vibe they bring.
Yes. Yeah. I think to make it really loud and clear, so this doesn't get taken out of context, we are saying, I think that the entire aura of a person is going into the hotness. Their
and
energy,
we're not just saying that to be BS, because I'm dead. I fully agree with that. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up everyone's butt.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And that's why I think a lot of the people that are my good friends, they like don't even have social media. And if you try to just like show someone a picture of them, it'd be like, oh yeah, they're like attractive. And I'm like, no, like they're the coolest person ever if you like actually know them.
And they don't have like that look of like the beauty standard.
Yes. And also everyone has such a different type or preference out there. And I think anyone can be anyone's preference. Like you're never going to make everyone happy, but there's someone out there who thinks that you are the most like beautiful, attractive person in the entire world. Because just because someone's famous doesn't mean everyone agrees that they're a 10.
Yeah. And I actually did hear a good quote the other day from the author of Unfuck Your Brain. She's like on a podcast, it was a clip. And I think she kind of had like the same thing where she like kind of hated herself. I don't know if it was like for looks or whatever, but she said that you can never hate yourself into being a better version of you. Mm-hmm. Like you have to accept where you're at and then you can make those changes. So I feel like along with this, if you're someone who like doesn't love the way you look, I feel like you do still have to like accept yourself and love yourself because you're never going to like hate your way into a good body or like hate your way into a good personality.
No, you have to do it through love because you're not going to go to the gym if you hate your body. You go to the gym because you love your body and you want to do good for it and you want it to be able to move for the rest of your life and it to feel good. And you have to do that through love. So this other quote recently, it was like, every single thing is about love. And if it's not about love, it's about the lack of love. And that even goes into that. Like if you're not loving yourself, it's going to be hard to get where you want to go because you're not going to do the things that, you know, self-care and respect require.
Like nourish and take care of yourself. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like that's a good place to end.
You guys really got a heavy dose of us today. We're in your ear for a long time.
It's like a double episode. Well, we hope you enjoyed and don't cancel us for our hot takes. That's why we're here. We trust you guys. You're our friends.
And it's never that deep.
It's never that deep. We could be wrong too. You know, we're not out here saying we're right.
And I might change my mind next week because I tend to do that a lot. Anyway. Exactly. Okay. Thanks for hanging, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Okay, wait, really quick before you go, if you want a chance to be the Arty Friends Listener of the Week, we have something for you. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And for bonus entries, there's so many ways to support our show. Share about us on your Instagram story, engage with us over on TikTok, post on our Facebook group, join the Patreon page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Make sure to send that rating and review to our Instagram page, Arty Friends Podcast, and we pick a new Listener of the Week every Wednesday. We'll send you a $10 Visa gift card if you win, just as a way of saying thank you, to buy you a coffee, buy you a sweet little treat, whatever you want. Thanks again, you guys. We appreciate you so, so much, and we'll catch you next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.